Nash, 3U Dead Air, and a little bit of an unusual interview for radio. I'm talking with Dave DeVries, one of the artists here at DragonCon. Dave, thank you for taking some time to speak with us.
Yeah, thanks. It's a pleasure.
Now, you've obviously done some comic art, but the big thing you have here this weekend is a book called The Monster Engine. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. It's a book where basically I paint kids' art realistically. It's, you know, I mean adding light, shadow, texture, atmospheric conditions, weather conditions, just really making them look 3D without using any computer programs whatsoever. It's all painted with acrylic, airbrush, colored pencil. And basically it's the same techniques that I used for the Marvel Comics and DC Comics and video game, you know, art that I've done in the past.
Now, you've done this work with a collection of children from very young to... How was the oldest one you worked with?
The oldest one was, I think, 8 in terms of, like, when they did the sketch. But kids really are good up till about age 12. After that, they kind of... They're focused. They become more adult, so they're not as fresh.
So you've got everything from, like, 5, very young on up.
Yeah, three years old is the youngest. So
yeah, you actually showed us one you did here that was just fantastic.
Yeah, it was interesting because 3 years old is a weird age. They're just cognizant of everything, but not at all interested in the way like say a 5 year old is. A 5 year old's like jazzed about this. It's a really cool thing.
Now, of all the stuff you've been doing, have any recurring themes popped up among the pictures that were given to you?
Recurring themes. Well, a lot of kids like to draw about, they really like to multiply facial parts, arms, eyes. I mean, I can't even count how many images I've gotten with, you know, 30 eyes on a head, you know. And sometimes when I'm feeling ambitious, I'll paint something like that, but so far I haven't done that yet because it's just, you know, it's a lot of work. And they're like taskmasters, these little kids. But it's kind of some other themes. I'm trying to think. I can think of in the interviews, because we do interviews with the kids after, mm-hmm. or I do an interview with the kid afterwards. So after I get done with the painting, I contact them, set up a time, and we talk about the painting. Now, the important thing to remember is that I don't know anything about the drawing when I get it. So the kid just gives me the drawing, and I kind of do my own spin. The kid now does his own spin on my painting in the interview. So we're kind of going back and forth, and kind of the themes that I seem to see a lot is obviously power, because I think kids don't really deep down feel they have respect or power in this world. So naturally their characters do. And it's a lot of the reason it's, you know, parallels the whole comic book world, because people love, you know, these characters that can do all these fantastic things because they really can't do that, or they maybe in their life feel that they can't do that. And kids, I think, are a prime example of that. So yet the theme that comes up the most is that it's my character and he can do whatever the hell he wants.
Well, and you mentioned earlier with some of the young kids that to you, these are things they really see in their everyday life. I mean,
yeah, there's an element to that. I interviewed one kid prior to doing a painting because he had seen these imaginary creatures. Mm-hmm. And so it's the only time I set up a pre-interview where I knew ahead of time what the drawing was. Mostly because I believe that kids do see at a young age into a different world than we do. And to them, it's probably nothing. So, and it's forgotten by the time you get older. So we don't remember that kind of vision. But it's there. And people discount it. Oh, it's imaginary friend, you know. But you don't know. They could be seeing into a different dimension because they just have. They haven't been taught otherwise. So I interviewed him and found out his imaginary creatures love to hide in the plants and really enjoyed fishing, which, you know, you can fish if you're imaginary. I don't know if you're catching, but it was just like a really interesting kind of thing. And
mentioned some of the varying reactions from the older kids seemed to like what you did, but the younger kids said...
Yeah, the younger kids tend to be... they're even more proprietary about their drawings when you're done. Visually, I've had kids reach for a crayon and aim for the painting, and they're telling me how I colored it wrong. So I'm painting away at the last second. It's all right. You know, I totally take it as a compliment because, you know, when I think about how kids, they can't drive, they can't, vote, they can't do anything, without the help of their parents. So when they say you colored it wrong, they're basically stating who they are, which I think is a really positive thing. They're saying, this is me, and I have the power to change this. You did it wrong. And how many times can a kid say that to an adult?
That you worked on in the book, do any really stand out for you as memorable?
All of them do. They're just either they're memorable visually because I enjoyed painting them and I maybe learned something or I pulled off something visually that was really tricky, or it could be a really kind of not so tricky painting, but the interview had a really great quote. They range because they could be really cute. You know, one character, I asked what their superpower was because they had this nose, super ruby nose. She said, that's a super ruby nose. And I'm like, okay, all right, what's a super ruby nose doing? She's like, he can smell broccoli and not die. And so, you got this really cute response. And then you had this other kid who did this character called Doubleheader. Doubleheader is a baseball character. He has two heads. He's got a body head and a facial skull. And I was like, tell me about these guys. And why does one have a beard and not the other? Why does the body head have a beard? And he was just like, well, that one, he thinks sicker, like going around hurting people and stuff. And then I said, what about him? And I pointed to the top head. He goes, well, he's the good one. He just likes going around breaking car windows. So, I mean, you've got like these two ends of the spectrum that they're disturbing and cute at the same time. And I think that really kind of sums up the book. It's disturbing and cute depending on where you want to focus. Which is in and of itself as much of an interesting thing as it is a burden for me, because certain people don't think it's appropriate for kids and some people do. And essentially, I think it is in the sense that we don't give enough credit to kids to really make decisions for themselves on stuff. Obviously with some guidance from an adult who can explain why this kid's talking about that. They can learn something, this boy is, he might be angry, and that's why he's saying this, but he's not a bad kid, just to look beyond that, so it could be the book could be a teaching tool for parents and kids, as well as, just entertainment.
Something Gretchen asked earlier that was a pretty good question. Has any of the work actually scared the children?
As a matter of fact, none, except
okay.
for one.
Yeah.
Okay, but I'll explain why none, and then I'll qualify it. None because every kid that's done this, I have a theory that they're controlling the monster by creating it. And they control it one of two ways. One is through humor, so they diffuse, like diffusing a bomb, by making fun of it.
Oh, yeah.
And the second is by taking a horrifying monster and drawing it in minute details. And what that does is it's almost like staring a monster in the face, because you're really going and drawing every detail, but you're really looking in your mind, in your imagination at this thing, and you're saying it to it, I'm not scared of you, and this is why, because I can look at you, and I can look at you so closely, I'll draw every part of you. And I think none of them at that point ever care. They never get scared. They look at them and they think it's fun, they think it's interesting that an adult takes them seriously. The one time a kid did get scared, it was because it was my friend's son, and he's very, very sensitive. His mother's very sensitive, very kind of earthy, new age type of person, and her son has that kind of sense in that drawing the kid's intention. That he could feel that that kid had this anger, and it was reflected in that drawing, because in all the other drawings, which do have teeth, he was afraid, and he was afraid of that drawing because of the teeth, the clenched teeth. And everything else, even though they had jagged teeth, he didn't mind. He focused on the one kid in the whole book who had an angry interview. And I thought that was really interesting. So, but none of the other kids, I've shown it to kids around the country. I actually had one girl, really funny, she looked at the book and looked up to me and she said, "Do you ever draw happy things?" And I'm kind of, I'm focusing on doing that, like doing a little bit more.
We'll be out in a second.
Are you going to put anything in the
live stuff? Yeah, happens all the time.
That's cool. What was I saying?
Drawing happy stuff.
Yeah. So essentially, what I'm trying to do is when I initially started this book, there was a lot of night scenes. And so I think it makes things look creepier. And so I'm trying to do more like daytime scenes and make it look a little bit brighter and kind of balance things off.
Okay, and sort of an unrelated note, she also asked me, this painting you have directly behind you, sort of a strange Dorian Gray. Can you tell us a little bit about that one?
Yeah, that's not part of the Monster Engine. That's something I did for probably one of the most, that's kind of the irony of me working with this stuff. Essentially a woman standing before a mirror, and she's very beautiful. But in the mirror is reflected a horrible vision of a decaying woman, like really decaying. And what she is the embodiment of disease, pestilence, and the four horsemen of the apocalypse. That's the game. And the game's kind of going to come out eventually. It's a very cool game, too. But so her, essentially, that character, she approaches somebody who looks like this beautiful woman, but the person who goes near her instantly dies of a horrible disease. It's not a pleasant way to die in a video game, but at least it's only in a video game.
But really, honestly, this book looks fascinating. Your website is?
It's www.themonsterengine.com. And something I should note is for anyone that speaks Japanese, we translated because of the fact that I went to my website, themonsterengine.com, was actually got very, very popular when it first started, and still is. We get about 1 million hits a month. We had 17 million hits the first month, and the bloggers across the world, the people that do the web blogs, really embraced it and spread it around. And Japanese TV, Nippon TV, which is sort of like NBC or ABC over here, flew me over to Japan to be on national TV and be on a show. And it was a 15-minute segment on that show, and they spotlighted the whole thing. So it airs next week. Actually, it airs this week. And it's going to be translated to Japanese, so people over there can understand it.
And the book is available at the website?
The book is available